to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
New one with Alyssa White's glutes doing co-vocals on a song called Burning Heart. Pretty cool song. But actually, a couple days ago, they announced that Alyssa was going to be the new vocalist or co-vocalist. So Dragon Force has been around for, God, how long have they been around? 1999. And 27 years later, they're like, we need two vocalists. The guy in there now, Mark Hudson, has been the vocalist since 2011. Before that was a guy named C.P. Thart. But kind of interesting that they thought that they needed to add a new dynamic of having a co-vocalist, albeit, you know, Alyssa White's glutes. And no, nothing against her. She's a great vocalist. But does it really move the needle for them? I like Dragon Force. I'm going to be honest, the first several records were really cool. And then it became a lot of the same. It's like, okay, I get it. The guitar's a video game. And it's very cool. And to see them live is amazing. I like seeing them live now better than I like listening to the studio records and stuff like that. Because what a show. These guys put on a monster show. And the songs are good, but again, they kind of blend in together and sound very similar. So, again, Alyssa White's glutes coming in, does that move the needle? Does that change things? I don't think so. I just, you know, you just heard the song too, and it sounds like the same thing. What we've been hearing for the last 26, 27 years. And again, not a bad thing, but they just kind of fall in that mold of like an AC/DC or Motorhead, and it's this, or Megadeth even for that reason. And it just kind of sounds the same. So, I don't know. If they come live, I'm going to go see them for sure because they put on a hell of a show. But am I going to go see them more now that Alyssa's up there singing too? No. It was so interesting too when they announced it. I saw a little thing on Instagram. And Herman Live was there, like, talking about Alyssa joining the band. I'm like, what happened to the other guy? And no offense to Mark, I didn't know your name until I looked it up a little bit ago. And I've seen you live, and you do a great job live. But, again, it's Herman Live and Santana. Those are the main two guys that have been in the band, you know, for the history of the whole band. And the other guys, I think they have more of a set lineup now. But they have had kind of a lot of people in and out of the band. So Herman and Sam have been in the band since the beginning, 1999. Mark, 2011. A guy named G. Azzalone, the drummer's been there, 2014. Okay. Alicia Vigil, she's been in the band since, looks like, 2022. And now you got Alyssa 2026. So, again, a little bit of a revolving door. I mean, they've got a lot of people that were in and out of the band over the formation, but after 26, 27 years, that could happen. So, you know, another band kind of from that area I really love is Stradivarius. They get a brand new song called Deep Unknown. Let's check it out. Stradivarius, Deep Unknown, I think from the forthcoming 19th studio record by the band. I know they're working on it, and that's the first single. I gotta say, I'm not impressed at all. I don't know. They kind of fell into the trap of Dragon Force, especially after Timo Tolki left, of every record kind of sound the same. You still have Kota Pelto on vocals, and you got Jens Johansson on keyboards, but the guitar player, I guess he's been there since Tolki left, but I don't know, the music just got pretty generic for me. Hadn't been as good. There were some good records, I'm not gonna lie, after Tolki left, but pretty much checked out back in 2011 after Elysium, which that was a really good record too. But I don't know, everything after that was just kind of like, okay, meh. Not great, not bad, not horrible. It's listenable, but am I gonna go seek it out? No. But I was kind of curious to hear what they sounded like now, because I haven't listened to them in a while, but it sounds like the same old stuff. I tell you what, let's play a classic. And this is the Stradivarius I love, and I wish they were doing, I guess, more stuff like this, but I don't want them to recreate what they did in the past. You know, we've gone over this a billion times, that, you know, it's okay for a band to evolve, try some new things, but don't lose where you came from. And then if you get, you know, you get in this like rut where I think they are now, where it's like, okay, we kind of wrote this song a couple records back. Let's kind of see if we can change it, but kind of keep the same vibe. So anyway, how about Kiss of Judas? Classic. what I'm talking about, the Kiss of Judas. Music like that, great music, not generic, just good heavy metal hard rock. I love it. Unfortunately, Stradivarius isn't doing much. I mean, we've only heard the one song, so maybe the rest of the record is better. I'm not going to pass judgment, but the first single, I'm not impressed. So another band I want to bring up, because I'm kind of on a tangent here, had no idea it was going to go here, but is Evergrey. Evergrey is a band I've loved, and again, kind of came out around the same time, 93-ish, and loved a lot of their music. And was a fan probably from, I guess her first record came out in 98, and was really into them until probably the Storm Within in 2016. And then I kind of checked out. I would check out a song here, a song there. And I was like, oh man, the songs weren't really grabbing me. And it sucked because I love these bands. I love Stradivarius. I love Evergrey. But I gotta tell you, this year, Evergrey has put out a brand new record called The Architects of a New Weave. And they're mixing it up a little bit, and I love it. Tom England sounds amazing as always. And this song, I'm going to play you a song. So I actually had listened to a couple songs off the record, and I was like, God, which one do I play? Which one do I play? So I was going to play something that's a little bit more traditional Evergrey. And then I thought, well, how about something a little different? Something they don't typically do. They do it, but they do it a little different on this record. So this is a song called Leaving the Emptiness. I hope you dig it as much as I do. Let's rock. Changed it up. And they're 30 plus years in their career and they're still putting out great music. And they're not doing the same thing over and over and over again. They're mixing it up. That's why I love Evergrey. And I want to see them live, man. Prog Power sold out in like 11 minutes. They're coming. DGM's coming. By some miracle, Ragman may make it there, but at this point, it ain't looking good. Well, that said, Mr. G, I'm really thirsty.
Yeah. So let's go there. Let's make our escape.
Oh, welcome back, John.
Hey, Greg.
All right, you're singing Creed tonight instead of Elvis.
I kind of did something in relation to the beer you're about to announce.
Oh, thinking outside the box. I love it. All right, we got a good one tonight. This is fresh out of Boston. Monster Lobster. I say it every time. This is from Treehouse. And this one's called Can You Take Me Hazier? Hence, John doing Creed. So I tell you what, let's pour this bad boy into a glass. Ooh, yeah, baby. It looks beautiful. Nice, golden, pineapple-y. Holy cow. Oh, this looks beautiful. This is what I need after the day I've had. The aroma is just out there, too. Holy cow. So, appearance, really more orange juicy as I get it in more light. And there's a lot of head on this bad boy. No lacing, not sticking to the glass at all. Let's do an aroma check. Oh, God, dude. Very tropical, creamy. Smells like it's going to be so creamy. Oh, it smells amazing. I got to get into it now. Clink myself. Oh, shit, that's good. Yum. Oh, it's kind of got a bitter finish on it. A really rich and creamy, soft, tropical. Oh, one more drink. Yep. I wasn't sure, but John, hit the horn, sir.
Da-da-da.
Holy cow. What a great beer to end a kind of weird day. The day started off pretty good. And then the evening has not been the best. Let's just keep it at that. So anyway, let's play some music. And then we'll get into our last topic before we get into an awesome interview with Gus G. Yeah, Gus is back promoting his brand new solo record. So we'll get into that here in a few minutes, but let's jam to some. Mood. I don't know if you got it or whatever, but yeah, like I said, the end of the day was not the best. Yeah, I got one of those things that get under your skin and you're like, oh God, no, not again, I don't need this. Yeah, it happened. Fucking happened. Whatever. I'm fine. That was Any Given Day, and that was called Hume Me to Death. Brand new song from them. You've heard a lot of them on the show because I dig them. I love that heaviness, the melodicism, And kind of got the new metal vibe. I like it. Hope you guys do too. Last topic, and then we're going to go, is I read an article today that Kiss is recording a new song. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard that you hit the brakes. I'm like, yeah, of course. Why is Kiss recording a new song? And who? I guess it's Tommy and Eric. I don't know. But, okay. When these bands say they're going to fucking retire, they don't retire. Motley Crue wrote this fucking whole thing out, made a big press conference. Hey, we're done. No. They're touring again. And they didn't even have Big Mars. They got John 5. Who cares? I'm not going. I really don't care. There's so much shit on the internet about Vince Neil not even being able to sing the lyrics. Is he fucked up or he just can't do it or he can't remember? He's got Alzheimer's. I don't know what's going on. But I'm not going to pay my hard-earned money to go see that. I'm done. I did the stadium tour a little bit under protest, but had a friend in town. I'm like, you know what? It could be fun, whatever. So nostalgia, blah, blah, blah. But Kiss is now, we're retired, we're done. But now they're doing the Kiss cruise landlocked because I guess they don't want to get on the seas and go to the Caribbean and play in this ship. I think they did that a few times. But like you all know here, I checked out pretty much after Ace and Peter left the last time. I tried to like some of the stuff they did. They did one song on Sonic Boom I like called Modern Day Delilah. But other than that, there was nothing good. And like, I remember when they put that out and they did the Monster record. And they're like, oh, we're getting back to our roots. You know, just four of us in a room. It's like, yeah, it's you, Paul. But there's two missing pieces. Ace and Peter aren't there. And I got to say, I want to put this out there. A couple of my favorite Kiss records. I mean, I love the early stuff, don't get me wrong. But let's say post-Ace Peter. Creatures of the Night, where Gene and Paul wrote with other people. And then Psycho Circus. Same thing. And I love stuff with Bruce Kulick. Some of the stuff was fluff. I actually been listening to Asylum a lot and realized how heavy that record is. The production on that's pretty heavy. And then, of course, Revenge was great, too. But they had outside writers. So, no offense to Tommy Thayer. You know, he's a good guitar player. I don't like him doing the Ace Frehley thing. We've talked about that. In Black and Blue, I loved him. And Jamie St. James and Thayer got this whole thing going on where they're putting out the lost tapes or whatever the fuck it is. I'm not sure why they don't just say, hey, Tommy, come back to Black and Blue, or we're doing something called Thayer St. James. Rather than lost tapes. I'm not sure if it's new, old, whatever. I don't really care that much. But the song I heard was actually pretty good. And I know Tommy Thayer's been doing some stuff with Dan Reed. And I love Dan Reed. So I was like, oh shit, if they did something, that could be kind of cool too. But I think they do more like little shows like overseas and stuff like that. I guess they're buddies or whatever. I think they're both from Portland or something like that. So anyway. The thing that irritates me again about Kiss and more, they're one of the worst. It's like, we're done. Oh, but we're going to do these Kiss cruise things, landlocked. Come out, play a few songs. We'll have all these other bands play. It'll be a Kiss thing. Okay, whatever. They sold the rights to Kiss here recently. So I'm not sure how that works on how they get paid now. If they, you know, still get something or not. I don't care. But the last two records they did were not good. Like I said, one song out of, what, maybe 20 was good? I don't know. I mean, do I want to hear it? No, I have no interest. I read that Paul wrote it, but that's all he said. We're going to do a new song as Paul wrote it, and Paul can't sing anymore. Maybe in the studio it's a little bit easier, right? But live, no, it's not the best. So I don't know. I mean, I go back to the glory days of the early days with Ace and Peter, and then, you know, the Creatures, one of my favorite records, the stuff with Vinnie Vincent, Lick It Up. The Bruce Kulick stuff, I mean, there were some records I really dug, like Asylum and Revenge were probably the two best. Crazy Nights and what was the one with the Hot in the Shade. And then the what was that one called? The grunge one. I know people are reeling if they're serious. I'm not looking at my screen right now. Well, you know what I mean. It's just like, they were meh. There were some good songs on those records that, you know, I mentioned that they weren't my favorites, but all the way through, not really. No. So, that said, I don't know. I don't think we need more new Kiss. What do you guys think? I tell you what we could do. What are we? Should we play a classic? Or should we play, I guess, the only song I'd like from the modern lineup? Maybe we'll do that. How about Modern Day Delilah? I mean, not the best Kiss by far. I mean, should we play good Kiss? I mean, it's okay. Is it great? No, not even close. Is it okay? Yes. All right, so let's do classic Kiss. Gene, Paul, Ace, Peter. One of my favorite records is Rock and Roll Over. So I tell you what, why don't we do something off Rock and Roll Over? Let's do... God, this is a hard one. I tell you what, I'm going to go with one of my favorite songs on the record. How about Mr. Speed? Let's do it. Love some classic Kiss. I really do. I like when they got heavier. Yeah, I always talk about Creatures is one of my favorite records of all time. And that tour, holy cow. First time I ever saw Kiss on Creatures of the Night. Thought it was going to be Ace and Anthony Benny Vincent as the Ankh Warrior. And what a great show. Amazing. Amazing. Riot opened up with Brett Forster singing. And I'll never forget, Heavy Metal Machine. Oh, fuck. Bring me back to the old days, please. Anyway, guys, real quick before we shut her down tonight. Again, great interview with Gus G coming up. I thought it's time to play Shazam again.
Shazam.
Thank you, Gomer. So tonight, let me pull up my Shazam. I haven't done this in a minute, so let's just see the date. There's no fucking telling. I'm not going to be able to tell you where I was and where what was going on. Oh, but shit. Wow, this is interesting. So the band is called We the Kings. And the song's called Check Yes, Juliet. So I did this on March 15th. God, that's right around Hell's Heroes. Interesting. At like 1 a.m. So Sunday morning, 1 a.m. So I was out Saturday night on the 14th doing something. God knows what. Hold on. I'm going to find out. All right. I did my due diligence. People, if you don't know where you were at, just go look at your pictures. And they got the timestamp and everything, right? So I know where I was at. And I'm not even sure why this song struck me. I tell you what, I do know why. So I'll tell you real quick. My girlfriend was out with her brother at the rodeo. And I went to, I was like, well, fuck, go have fun. And I'm gonna go to this bar. It's called Axelrad here in Houston. Really cool bar. And it's very cool at night, especially on the weekends, because they either have a DJ or they got like live bands out there. So the band, the theme that night was kind of like pop punk-ish type music. And I've been playing more metal stuff. I haven't played much pop punk in a while. I still dig it, but I'm kind of more in a heavier phase. So I tell you what, let's listen to We the Kings. What the? Yes, Juliet or something like that? Or Check Juliet? Hold on. Something's going on with Juliet. I don't know what the fuck's going on with her. So yeah, Check Yes, Juliet. Let's do it. Bad song is my favorite? No. Going on Spotify? No. But okay. I don't know. I think it was kind of in a vibe. You know, when you're sitting somewhere and they're playing a style of music that you enjoy, you might get into a band that maybe you wouldn't get into normally, and then when you listen back, it's like, well, it's okay. It's what it is. It's okay. I remember my classic story. I was like in a bar years ago. And I want to say it was kind of like drunk a little bit. And I heard this band called The Proclaimers. I forget the fucking name of the song, but I went and bought the record. I was like, oh, fuck. All I can remember is The Proclaimers. And yeah, there it is. Thanks, John. This song. And I'm like, when I was drunk, it was the best song ever. But when I was sober, I was like, oh, God, that's horrible. Fucking hate this song. It was a hit for them. Good for them. Whatever. But I was like, no. No, I had my... You know, you have the beer goggles for like chicks if you're a guy or, you know, guys if you're a chick. I had ear goggles on. And I'm like, fuck. A beer goggles on my ears. Is that... I don't know. I'm not sure that makes sense. But you know what I'm saying. You know where I'm coming from. So I was like, oh, God, that's horrible. I mean, I can tolerate the song. It's not my favorite, but not a great one. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you for listening every week. I want to thank you for your support. nonstop. Yes, Rock. I want to thank you for your comments when you send them. But hey, we got a great interview. Not we, I have a great interview coming up for you with Gus G. Gus is always awesome when he's on the show. Great dude. But I hope you enjoy the interview. But anyway, before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big hug.
We are one now, and we won't back down. We're taking back all that's come undone.
All right, this is Gus G, and you're listening to The Ragman Show. Horns up.
They took it all away. A permanent solution with one foot in the grave. When it all comes crashing down, it goes up in the flames. I see the writing on the wall of words that went unspoken. This is the cold wall, falling and the broken. We can rise and we can fall. On the ground, we all want now, and we won't back down. We're taking back all that's come undone. We're rising up now, and we all stay proud. But we'll feel that we make our
All right, guys, you're on live. Bottle we bottle with Ragman. Yeah, this guy's one of my favorite guitar players, and you know it because he's been on the show like five or six times. He's like royalty on this show, and he plays guitar like none other. And he's got a brand new record we're going to talk about today. I'm talking about Gus G. Gus, welcome back to the Ragman Show.
Thank you for having me again. Good to see you again.
You too, man. We had a good time last time you were in Houston. I got to go up backstage, and we chatted for a bit. And,
you're right. Thanks for reminding me.
That was a lot of fun, man.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, that was at the Warehouse Live.
Yeah. So it was very cool. So you've been doing Firewind for a long time now, it seems like. It's been 5 years since you've had a solo record. Let me ask you this before we jump into the record stuff. Is Firewind, I know you like doing balancing out the solo stuff as well as Firewind. So is Firewind kind of on hiatus for now?
No, not at all. The only thing is that it took a little bit longer to complete this new album, and we shifted the plans only because, in a perfect Firewind tradition, the singer quit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had Herbie, he quit the band last summer. So we had to move on finding the new guy, and that, you know, took us back a little bit. And obviously I had the solo tours going on with Ronnie Romero, so I had a good chat with my agent, and we were like, oh well, you know, we should probably do this year with since we had a lot of was a lot of demand for the solo shows with Ronnie Romero. So we said, let's keep doing another year of that while I get my stuff together with Firewind. So it might seem a slower year for us, but there is stuff happening. You know, we are actually mixing the new album as we speak.
Oh, wow.
So we do have a new singer. The new singer is the old singer, Henning Basse. He returned to the band. So we're working on the album. We're mixing it right now, and we're putting all the plans together. And we are actually going to do a lot of festivals in Europe this summer. So trying to balance it all, basically, wherever the demand is and whatever people are asking us, you know. So, but yeah, you know, at the same time, you know, I took the opportunity to finish up while all this was happening. I took the opportunity to finish up a new solo record because that was definitely on the back burner for a while.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you know Ronnie? And I know he sings on the new record. Have you known Ronnie for a long time? And you guys did a lot of, like, shows together.
Yeah.
Seems over the last year or so. And
With their shows, what music did y'all play? I know you have the one song that I love called Premonition, but
My Premonition, yeah.
Yeah.
We known each other for about 10 years now with Ronnie. We were in touch on and off, you know, he's obviously been very busy with a lot of bands. And the whole thing, we kind of reconnected 2 years ago. He reached out because he lives in Romania now, which is very close to Greece, where I live. It's only like a 30-minute flight, basically.
Oh, wow.
So he was looking to somebody to team up with to do a few acoustic shows in Romania. So he reached out, and we did that. And then I said to him, hey, look, I got a couple of shows back home in Greece, like electric shows with my band, and I'm looking for a special guest as a singer. So we flew him out for that. We did the acoustic thing. We did the electric thing. And then, like, the agent goes, well, would you guys like to do some more? And we said, yeah, why not? We're having fun. And then, man, that, like, it snowballed from there. We started getting offers left and right. So,
well, that's awesome.
And it's you were asking about the show. It's a very cool show. It's a lot of fun. We do original music. We do some of my stuff. We do a couple of Ronnie songs. We wrote a couple of songs together. Obviously, one we put out as a single, My Premonition. And there's another one on the record that we did together. And we also do stuff that we were from the artists we were related to. Obviously, we do like an Aussie tribute. We do a Rainbow tribute. You know, we play Sabbath, Deep Purple, stuff that we're kind of connected as we played with these people. So it's like a little rock jukebox type of set list.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's pretty awesome.
It's cool because, you know, that's one cool thing that we share with Ronnie. You know, he was in Rainbow and I was in Ozzy. So it's not like a cover band doing it. You know, it's, you know, us who actually got to play with those original guys, you know.
And, yeah.
So it's our way of saying thank you and kind of like keep flying the flag in a sense. And, you know, kind of like keep carrying the torch, you know, as we are like a couple of generations younger. So it's fun, man. We were enjoying this a lot.
Well, let's jump into the new record. It's called Steel Burner, coming out on Metal Department, coming out on April 24th, 2026 here. Going into the record, the last record, Quantum Leap, was all instrumental. What you divided it up between instrumental and vocals on this record. So what was your thought going in? It was like, I want to do half and half, or is that just kind of how it developed?
It kind of took me on its own into that direction because I had a couple of songs. I had the song with Ronnie. I had the song with Matt Barlow. And I knew I was going to have featured singers on the record. And then I had a few instrumentals that I was working on. So at that point, I made a decision. It was a conscious decision at some point. Well, why don't I do a half and half record? Because I know that also my fans like me to do instrumental stuff, explore the instrumental guitar music. But I know my fans also like to hear me collaborate with great singers. I mean, you know, it was kind of like a natural evolution at that point, like of the project. Yeah.
Well, I think it's awesome because the singers you've got, oh my God, so many songs are just so amazing. Like, how did you, I guess maybe it was a dream of yours to team up with Doro Pesh at some point, but Absolutely. Nothing can break me. Holy shit, dude. She's singing her ass off. You're playing your ass off. What a great song. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Just gets me.
Yeah, man, that song has a lot of energy. You said it right when you said that it was a dream of mine to collaborate with Doro. I actually played a solo on one of her records about 14 years ago. I think it was a song called Grab the Bull from her album Raise Your Fist. And since then, you know, I did a solo at that time, but then since then we bumped into each other a couple of times and we said, let's do something someday, you know. Yeah. And it was one of those things that took forever, but last year at some point I was finally got around to it. I was like, somebody said, hey, how about doing something with Doro? And I was like, oh yeah. And I think I have the right song for her. Because I had those riffs sitting around for a while. And I just reached out and I said, hey, check this out. If you like it, I'd love to do this with you. And she got back to me with the song ready, you know, like a real pro, man. She wrote the lyrics, the vocal lines. She went into the studio, properly recorded everything and sent it back. And there you have it. It's insane.
I bet you were blown away when you heard the way she's singing with such conviction. Like, holy shit, man. There's like parts where she's like singing. You can kind of hear her breathe and just give it. It's so awesome.
She has this old school quality, you know, that type of tone in the voice that only the greats had, you know, like Dio and Lemmy and those people, you know. So she comes from that era. So she's an icon. What can I say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, let me ask you about the video. I'm assuming you had a green screen, she had a green screen, you kind of belled it together, or?
It was not a green screen. It was like a background, like we went to in a studio. I think I had a gray screen, personally. Wow. but yeah, we put a lot of, obviously we had different backgrounds, and, you know, I worked with a really good guy who is really good at VFX and stuff, and made it seem like we were kind of, you know, even though it was two different locations, two different shoots, we kind of blended it together and it worked. And, you know, so it's not supposed to be an actual video official. It was, it's like a lyric video, but yeah. we made it extra cool by adding, you know, performances by both of us. So I'm really glad we were able to do that.
You know, to be honest, I love what you did there, because lyric videos are okay, but if you can see the artists actually playing and singing, it adds a lot to the viewer, the listener as well, for me at least.
I agree.
Let me ask you this. As far as the songs with vocals, do you send these songs, finished songs, to the vocalist and say, write lyrics, sing, or do you send ideas lyrics?
No, actually, it depends on the collaboration. With Doro and with Matt Barlow, I actually had the music and I sent it to them, and they wanted to write their parts. So I didn't say anything to them. They said, we'd like to write, you know, both Doro and Matt, they said, you know, let us try to write over this. And they just did their thing. So I gave them complete freedom to do their thing. And I like that, because in my opinion, that is a true collaboration. That's the spirit of a true collaboration. Like each one putting their own soul and their own stamp into it, instead of like recreating something that a producer wrote, you know?
So, okay, let's talk about the one with Matt Barlow, Dancing with Death. Great song. Starts out kind of a dark vibe, very powerful, gets heavy. Because you think it's going to be like a mid-tempo ballad. And then it picks up and gets really heavy. I love the, you do these little kind of little riffs underneath when he's singing, which I think is very cool. And the ripping
like
at the end of
it. You mean like some little melody to it.
I love that. It's so cool. So, do you write that with Matt Barlow singing in mind? Or did you already have that idea? Or
Bible day with everything I am, I'll find you. Love no day. Fire, my one desire.
that idea. I didn't write the name in mind. It's sometimes, you know, because I write a lot of ideas. I have a lot of ideas laying around on my computer, and sometimes I don't know what to do with them. Some stuff ends up on a solo record. Some stuff ends up on a Firewind record. And some stuff just sits there for years because I don't know what to do with it. And eventually they find their way in a collaboration. And when the opportunity came up to do something with Matt, I was looking first and foremost. I went to my folder in my computer just to check out. And a matter of fact, this song, I had it for 2 years since the Stand United album, Firewind. And we tried to, it was meant to be a song on the Firewind Stand United record. And we tried it and it just didn't work out. And it was one of those situations, well, I'll put it on the side. And then when the opportunity with Matt came up, I was like, well, I have this track and it kind of fits his vibe. I could see it right away, you know, like it has this kind of dark melancholy, but also this very powerful and fierce riff. And it reminded me at that time, like, oh, this is almost has this kind of vibe of 90s Iced Earth.
Yeah.
And so it was a no-brainer for me. Instead of like sitting down to write something from scratch, I just sent him that just as a tryout to see. And then when Matt sent me back his vocal lines, we knew we had it. You know, the song was there.
It's such a great song, dude. I really love it. Let's go to one of the instrumentals, What If. I love that one, mid-tempo, melodic. I love when it slows down and you have the kind of keys and you have that to solo with the feeling. Oh, I love that, dude.
There's a lot of moments in the instrumental tracks where they're just, you know, different sides of me. It's not all like pedal to the metal the whole time, you know. Yeah. There's like more mellow moments or even stuff like Confession, you know. It starts with these clean tones or there's acoustic stuff on there. So you get to hear sometimes the more bluesier side of me or just like playing other stuff than just shredding, you know, and all that stuff.
Well, Confession, that's another one I wanted to bring up because I heard a little bit of an eBay part in there. I mean, it's very short, sweet, and simple. It sounds a little bit like eBay in one part to me, where it gets a little kind of classical or neoclassical sounding.
Oh.
In Confession.
I wouldn't call it that. It was definitely not influenced by eBay. I mean, eBay is one of my influences, but not that song for sure. I don't know where that song came from, to be honest. I had this clean part, the intro. I wrote it on the road last year. I was just playing around backstage. And I was trying to go for more like cinematic melodies. So I don't know. Maybe there is a little bit of classical influence on there. But, you know, it's not. I wouldn't call that like a neoclassical shred song in that sense.
Yeah.
It's definitely not one of those.
Oh, there's this one part that kind of reminded me of something like a Black Star by Yngwie. It's not like you ripping. It's just this, maybe it's the orchestration or the arrangement.
Okay.
Is probably a better word.
Yeah,
in this one section. And it's not there for long, probably maybe 30 seconds or so. And that's what I kind of heard.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, it's music. You know, music reminds of people other stuff all the time. So it's kind of normal. And it's interesting to hear because stuff that I don't think sounds like something somebody else will say something. So, yeah, I guess that's the beauty of it.
Oh yeah, that's how we all love music, man. And it's weird when you hear this one song. Sometimes I'll pick out stuff, like I was talking to Robin McCauley. He's in this band called Black Swan, and there's this one part that they did in the song that sounded like ELO, Do Ya? And I told him, and he's like, oh shit, I never even thought about that. We weren't even channeling in ELO, but I was like, that's what I heard. I just, this one part is like, da 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 da. And he's like, oh shit, that, yeah, I get it now. It's so funny, especially with artists that even see it. They're not paying homage, so to speak, but other fans kind
of
hear
a lot of the music that we listen to sits in the on the subconscious back of our head, and you know, it just happens sometimes, and nobody knows where stuff comes from, you know. So, but I think everything we listen to plays a role in our lives. You know, these are sounds that are sitting in our subconscious.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about My Premonition with Ronnie Romero on vocals. That was, I guess, the first single technically off the record. Keep your eyes on me, forget what has been taken. I don't want to say goodbye. This emptiness is real, cause nothing is forever. But I wouldn't give up on my
The first one was an instrumental called Advent. That was my first. And then that came out, I think, April or May, and then we put out My Premonition last July.
Yes, yeah. So when you're putting Advent in, were these just going to be singles, or were you already thinking, I'm going to put this all on a record together?
It was originally intended to be just dropping singles, because I was out of a label. I didn't have a record deal because our previous label, AFM, they went out of business. So I was figuring out what to do, but I had this music and I said, well, you know, I'd like to be independent for once. I want to do something like completely DIY. Just put it out there, see what people think. And I knew I had the dates with Ronnie. So I dropped the first instrumental single. Then we dropped My Premonition to promote our tour as well. And I think at some point right after that, I realized that, well, I should kind of get it all together and like gather all the songs and put 10 songs and put it in an album, because ultimately the music has to live somewhere as a collection of a piece of work. And I just had a little brief moment where I thought, well, what's the point? Maybe I should just do singles. But I don't really believe in that. I think you should put the work as a collective, and you know, like put it under an album name, and I think that's very important even now to these days, because these songs find a home, if you know what I mean. They find a home where they live forever.
Well, that's an interesting point, because you know, bands started doing the like single thing. And it may take them 2 years to put out enough singles. And then if they put it into a new album after 2 years or something like that, it's like, this music's already been around for like 2 years. What if you don't do something new? I get what you're saying. I like what you've done, where you're like, no, let's make this a whole complete body of work.
Yeah, I came to that conclusion pretty quickly. You know, we did that on the last record with Firewind, Stand United, because the labels sometimes are pushing the artists towards that, because they just... They like, you know, a lot of the labels, they have either a stake into Spotify and the streaming services, or they just see the benefit of that, because they cannot sell records anyways anymore. So they're like, let's push the streaming numbers. So they push their artists to keep coming up with songs so they can promote them online and keep the streaming numbers healthy and keep them going up. But I think a lot of labels are probably forgetting that, you know, it's the album at the end of the day that matters, not the singles so much. And I think we fell a little bit into that loop with Firewind. We released a couple of singles like a year and a half before the album came out, and on the last record, and we went back and forth recording and mixing in between tours, and I didn't like that. And I didn't want to repeat that mistake again. I that's why last year I made a quick decision, like, I shouldn't just keep doing singles. I have like 4 songs now. I should finish another 5-6 songs and then get it together, you know?
Yeah, good idea. So with Stillbird, did you go in with the mindset as I'm going to do half instrumental and half songs with vocals? Or
kind of, yeah, because I already had a couple songs. Yeah. I was sitting on the song with Matt Barlow. I had the song with Ronnie. And then I said, I need a couple of more guests. And I already had like three instrumentals. And then I put like all the pieces together. I said, okay, I should probably get like a couple of more instrumentals I had ideas for. And then let's see who we can get, you know, if we can get like a couple of more guests for this. And, you know, then Doro came along and Dino Jelusic, and here we are, man.
That's the next song I was going to bring up. No One Has to Know, but with Dino. It's what a great song, dude. The chorus is big, sing along. It stays with you. It's melodic. I love that song.
Songs. I actually had it for a while. I wrote it with Jacob Bunton. He's a buddy of mine, and he sang on my second record, Brand New Revolution. And we had the vocal line, the title of the track, but we didn't have the lyrics. And I sent it to Dino, and I said, look, I'd like you to help me co-write this and, you know, write the lyrics and do your take on it. And he really delivered, man. He's great.
Well, that guy's just a powerhouse vocalist. Mm. So, with this, the way the world is today, you don't have to be in the same room. You send tracks. Do you know most of these guys from touring and stuff like that? Or
yeah, especially with these people that are on the record, I definitely know them. I mean, I've known Doro for a number of years, not very well, but you know, we bump each other into festivals, obviously. So we've been buddies. Ronnie, I know well for 10 years. We technically have a band together now.
Yeah.
Dino is also another guy who I've known for quite a few years in the scene here in Europe. You know, we play a lot of festivals together. And Matt is somebody that I met recently because he comes to Greece a lot to play here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we ended up hanging out at a friend's house a couple of years ago. And we've been in touch. Yeah.
Now, I saw that Dennis Ward produced the record, and you worked with Dennis a while back on Fearless. So
I've been working with Dennis on all my records since 2017, both Firewind and Solo. So he's like my go-to guy. Every time I have a piece of music, I'll send it to him first. And we either co-write it together, or if I co-write it with somebody, I'll just send everything to him to mix it.
I was lucky enough to see the tour you did with Dennis.
Oh.
That was so awesome, man. I think it's the first time we ever met in person. That little place... It was south of Houston called Clear Lake at Scout Bar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
I remember with Vinnie Moore, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was the show. Yeah, cool. I think because Dennis played double duty, I believe.
Yeah,
he or the backing band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. Do you ever talk about doing something with Dennis again, or is he just not into...
I think he doesn't really tour that much. You know, he's more of a studio cat now. So, but, you know, we work, like I said, pretty much. I mean, we're in touch all the time. You know, he's mixing the Firing record as we speak right now. So every night I get like mixes in my emails and stuff. So,
oh, that's pretty awesome.
We're always in touch. So,
that's awesome. Is there anybody you wanted vocally for this project that you couldn't get, or?
No, actually, I was lucky. The people that I wanted to, they responded positively. So I was really lucky. Yeah, it was a blessing, really.
Do you think you'll be able to, I guess you'll be able to do stuff with Ronnie where you can play the new material live?
Yeah.
Are there thoughts about how you're going to do that or no?
Well, we haven't discussed exactly yet. We're going to definitely do our two songs that are on the record. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to do anything else together. Maybe. We'll see.
Would you consider doing a solo tour of this to promote Steelburner?
We are going on tour, me and Ronnie, in October. We are playing like 25 dates in Europe and Japan.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
So yeah, the tour dates are up on my website. So yeah, we have a long tour ahead of us this year. So I'll be going out there playing a lot of the stuff from Steelburner.
And you need to come back to Texas.
Would love to. Would love to.
It's because I know it's super hard. I just went to a festival here, and a lot of bands are having problems getting visas to come over and work in the U.S. I don't know if you've had that problem much in your career or not much.
Visas, it was always. I wouldn't say easy, but we always got our visas on time and everything. You know, obviously I have a history with coming to the U.S. and working there. Mm-hmm. It's just a procedure that it just takes a lot of time and it's very costly and there's a lot of paperwork to fill out. So you have to go through that. And I know a lot of artists don't want to go through that or they don't plan ahead of time to do that. And that sucks. I know. It's not very pleasant. It's actually very stressful. But, you know, if you know the procedure and you go through it, it's okay, you know. But it's very expensive. It's a very expensive thing, man.
And I know it's hard for you as an artist to come over here and play and probably make some money. You mainly make your money off T-shirts and whatever you sell off your merch booth, right?
So. Luckily, you know, the American crowd, you know, because you guys have a different economy there, Americans spend a lot more money on the merch than Europeans do. So,
oh, really?
It's kind of funny. You can, you can do a club tour in America, a small tour, and you can break even just by doing really well on the merch, even if it's not the biggest shows of your career. So, I think it's just a difference in economy and also the mentality of the American people. If they like something, they spend money on it. They don't ask, you know. Mm-hmm. We have people that support the band there that they just go up to the merch and they're like, just put everything in a bag. I don't care how much it costs.
Yeah.
Like nobody in Europe will do that. You know, it's just a different economy, different mentality here. You know,
that's pretty wild because Halloween, they just came like a week ago. And I haven't seen them since 1989.
Oh God.
And I was that guy. I was like, I want that. I want that. Just
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, American people they want the merch. They want to support the bands and show them and have bragging rights that, hey, I was there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like in that sense, you know, there's like, if you have enough super fans, you want to call them, or super supporters, or people who just, it can, you know, it can work out financially. And then, of course, it's a big risk, you know, or there's a lot of cost. Everything costs way more in the States. Like even the basic stuff is just way more expensive. So a lot of Europeans are also like intimidated by it. Like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
Or everybody, you know, one big misconception, people think like they see a price of something in America and they don't realize that at the end of the day, it's plus tax.
Oh yeah.
Here, tax is included on anything you buy. So a lot of Europeans are kind of scared to spend money and, it, like I said, different economies, man, different salaries, different worlds. So, but you know, I'm used to, you know, I lived in America when I was a kid. I have family there. I understand the culture. I love the country and it has given me a big opportunity. So, I always make the effort, you know, we got to get our visas in place and I always want to show up. Well, you know, maybe we don't tour as much nowadays, but every couple of years, I definitely want to make sure we come back.
Dude, I will be there front and center, and I'll be bugging you for an interview. You know I will.
Thank you,
I did want to ask you one question. This bothered me, and if you don't want to talk about it, I totally understand. But before Ozzy passed away,
yeah,
they did the big concert the final farewell. And I noticed one oversight for me, and I'm sure you've heard this from several people, you weren't there. I didn't know if you weren't invited or if you weren't available or what. I was just always curious to see what happened there.
Yeah, I've been talking about it on all these interviews. Everybody's been asking me now. Now, the truth is I was not invited. And the thing is, I also, the timing was kind of strange because the day before Ozzy's last show, I had my kid, you know, we were expecting our baby. So it was one of those things where I guess it wasn't meant to be, you know what I mean? Like, I was meant to do something else that day. But yeah,
Did you stay in touch with the Osbournes at all after you left or not really?
Not as much, you know, like the occasional email with Sharon just to check on Ozzy. Cause when I heard the accident, mm-hmm. just like a Christmas email once every year and just to see how he was doing, but not really in touch anymore, you know?
Yeah. But it's kind of like a job, you know, it was a job.
Yeah,
it was an employer, you know, so you don't always check back in. But I've talked to you before about Tracy G when he was at Dio. It seemed like when he left Dio, it's just contact wasn't really with the band anymore. It was a job. It's like he left a job. You know,
and I'll make the analogy in a smaller level, like even with past Firewind members, a small band like us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not calling, you know, previous singer or previous drummers that were in the band every other week or anything. I don't even know what these guys are doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for any strange reason or because I don't like them. It's because people move on. It's like, do you call your ex-girlfriends? No. Like, no. You don't.
That'd
you don't,
be a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. Your wife wouldn't like that, I'm sure.
No, not at all.
So you just move on with your life. That's how it is. And you know, like you said, I worked there for a while, and then I didn't work, and I thanked them, and I moved on, and so did they. And but it does not change my love and respect for them, of course.
Well, okay, last question, and this is back to Steelburner. When you're putting the songs in order, how long does it take you between you're saying, okay, I want a song with vocals here, one with instrumental? Because I want to congratulate you. The flow of the record is awesome.
Thank you.
As soon as it ends, I want to hear it again. I just love the way the record flows.
Thank you. Actually, believe it or not, it was one of the easiest track lists that I had to put in my life.
Oh, wow.
And I've done a lot of records, and I struggled with a lot of them with a track list in the end. But this one, for some reason, I was like, oh, let's do these two tracks together here. They go well, and then let's take a break. Let's play an instrumental. I think I treated it a little bit like almost like a live set list, you know, where you have a couple of singers, like a guest, and then like play an instrumental to kind of give people, you know, to have, you know, sip some wine backstage and then come on stage and then do another song. And so I think I approached it a little bit like that, as if I was doing a live concert with guests on there. I think it worked out well.
I think it did too. Congratulations. It's a great record. Well, Gus, before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there today?
Well, I want to thank everybody for the support, man. I hope they can check out the new stuff, and can't wait to see you in a town near you in the future.
Well, Gus, it's been great seeing you and chatting with you again, my friend. We want to tell all the fans to get Steelburner out on April 24th on Metal Department. Gus, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you, my friend. But before we let the people go, we're going to do something very special for them. Gus, are you ready?
Yep.
Hold up.
Oh, awesome. You dragged it even more than me.